and welcome to Nothing Ever Happens in Canada. But we know this is simply not true. This is a Canadian podcast looking to explore the myths, legends, and just good old stories Canada has to tell. I'm Canadian Girl. Thanks so much for joining me today on this superhero's adventure. And Happy New Year to you all. I feel like it's been forever since I sat down here and told you all one of Canada's great tales. And to be honest, I've really missed it. And most importantly, I've missed all you, my adventure buddies who come along with me on all these great adventures. So thanks for coming back for another year. I hope you all had an okay time this holiday season with all this terrible COVID stuff that's still going on out there. This holiday season was a different one for sure. That being said, I hope you and your loved ones all manage to stay safe and continue to. That's my holiday wish for everyone this year. A quick shout out and big thank you to Mr. Canadian Girl needs to be said here. He graciously got us a brand new USB condenser and microphone setup for Christmas, and it really is quite fancy for this little podcast. So if we're sounding a little bit better, that's why. It's thanks to him. Thank you, Mr. Canadian Girl. If you're new here to the channel, welcome and hello. And please don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out on any of our awesome adventures. Okay, now it's time to get through this business stuff as quick as I can, I promise this time, and we will jump right into our superhero adventure today. If you are loving these adventures, please let me know by leaving a comment or review on the app you're listening to. These reviews are so important to the show as it allows us to move around on the podcast charts so we can meet even more awesome listeners from all over the world. Like most recently, we were sitting at number 46 on the Argentina Apple Podcast History Charts. Shout out to Argentina. Hello, my Canadian adventurers in Argentina. I know you're out there and I see you're listening and I appreciate you so much. I think this just may be the highest this little podcast has ever been on an Apple Podcast History Chart. So thanks again, Argentina, for coming out on these Canadian adventures with me. And we were also sitting at number 51 in Singapore on the Apple History Podcast Charts there, which is awesome as well. Hello, Singapore listeners and adventurers, and thank you so much for joining me here in Canada. Shout out to Singapore. It truly makes me so happy that so many people are joining in on these Canadian adventures from around the world. This is exactly what I wanted to do with this little show, share the many great stories this country has to tell. You've all made this Canadian girl's heart feel so full today, and I thank each and every one of you for that. But back to this business stuff, because we have some really fast superheroes to catch up with before they get away. If you want to leave a review for the show, the link can always be found in the show notes below or on my social media pages at Nothing Canada on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find my link tree there, and that will take you to everything related to Nothing Ever Happens in Canada. And just quickly, if you happen to be listening on the CastBox app, please leave a review or comment on there, as I am actively on there and would love to hear from you. And I can even reply back, which is pretty neat. The other way to help support the show is by donation. Donations are used to help purchase new equipment, internet security, hosting fees, and all those other fun little costs that come with hosting the show. Your donations help me get through all these little costs so I can keep providing this show with its best content, always free of charge for you all. I thank you all for your kind and generous donations. The link to make a donation can be found at the top of the page of nothingcanada.com or again on my social media pages at nothingcanada under the link tree. Or of course, you can always find the links in the show notes below. Whoa, what was that? A bird? A plane? I'm not sure exactly. It went by so fast, all I saw was a streak of blue. Grab your favorite superhero cape, comic, or even action figure if you have one, and join me as we look at some of the amazing superheroes from right here in Canada. Our story starts today in 1933 at a high school in Cleveland, Ohio. And now I know this is not Canada, but stick with me for a minute. We find two young men, Jerry Siegel and Joe Schuster, who is originally from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. These two young men would come up with one of the greatest superheroes of our time. And though this superhero himself does not claim to be Canadian, he has a lot of Canadian connections, including the most important, the young Joe Schuster from Canada, who helped bring him to life. They created the Man in Blue, made of steel, the one that leaps over tall buildings in a single bound, Superman, in 1933. Superman's first appearance would be in the June 1938 edition of Action Comics No. 1. He goes by the alias of Clark Kent, as we all know. Born on the doomed planet of Krypton, his parents sent him to Earth for a chance to survive. He is believed to be about 33 to 35 years old. His powers consist of flight, super strength and speed, invincibility, as well as heat and X-ray vision. As we all know, he wears a blue spandex suit, the certified standard for all superheroes, with a red cape that is adorned with his big famous letter S on it. That same letter S can be found on the chest of his suit. He has a yellow belt, red tight shorts, and red boots. Standing at 6'2", with short dark hair and a whole bunch of muscles. Superman is credited with being the first mainstream comic book superhero. Joe Schuster would claim on a TV show, The Daily Planet, the newspaper where Clark Kent worked, was based on the Toronto Star that Joe Schuster himself once worked at as a boy, and Metropolis was based on Toronto, where he once lived. And really, how can Superman not be Canadian? Just look at how he hides all that strength and power under an alias of the clumsy and just plain normal Clark Kent. It's totally the Canadian way. Over the years, there have been some Canadian artists that have had the chance to draw the beloved hero as well, such as Tom Grummett of Saskatoon, Stuart Immonen, I hope I said that close to right, of Toronto, and Denis Rodier of Quebec. Our hero, of course, has a Heritage Minute here in Canada, which is about a 5-minute or so commercial that tells a brief history of the tale being presented. In it, you can hear the young Joe Schuster talking to his Aunt Lois about the character. Also, the beloved hero is a part of a set of 6 postal stamps issued here in Canada in 2013. You know, here in Canada, if you made this stamp, it's a big deal. Oh, and there's just one more thing. The Fortress of Solitude, I know we don't really know the real location, and it has been shown in the movies at different locations around the world, but according to the comics, it's located on the frozen tundra. And we all know there's a lot of frozen tundra up here in Canada. Who knows, he may just be Santa Claus's very distant neighbor. I'm just saying, it makes more sense for the Fortress of Solitude to be up here than anywhere else. The first Canadian comic book was published by Maple Leaf Publishing in Vancouver in March 1941. Better Comics, issue number 1. Which also featured Canada's first superhero known as Iron Man. And he is not even close to the Iron Man we know today. This Iron Man is more of the aquatic type, swimming around under the water, trying to find an underwater city. He sports just a pair of swim shorts, sometimes he has on blue boots, and sometimes not. As for his appearance, he almost looks like a very young and much thinner Mr. Incredible, with blonde or reddish hair, depending on some of the different pictures I've seen of him. Iron Man is the last member of a mutated type of human species. His people were killed during an earthquake, and he was the only one that survived. As for his powers, he is indestructible, amphibious, and has superhuman strength. He can also make very large leaps and punch through solid steel, as he is seen punching through entire boats on the waters. Iron Man was also very concerned with the Nazis at the time. It was World War II, and he felt they were just like pirates, and he didn't like either one of them. Iron Man was created by Vernon Miller, who was born in Winnipeg, Manitoba. He then moved to BC. He was also a cartoon artist for the Vancouver Sun and the Province newspaper. Not the Tony Stark we know and love today for sure, but I thought it was very interesting that we had our own Iron Man for a little bit. So who was the first Canadian woman superhero, you ask? Her name was Nelvana of the Northern Lights, and she's just as beautiful as she sounds. Described as an Inuit demigoddess, she wears a chic white fur-trimmed dress dyed blue. She then has on matching knee-high boots, long gloves, and a cape that is either red or sometimes green. She is adorned with a beautiful headdress that has two white feathers on either side of her long dark hair. She is often credited as being Canada's first fully Canadian superhero, making her debut in Triumph Adventure Comics in 1991, just a short while before Wonder Woman made hers. Nelvana of the Northern Lights was created by Adrian Dingle. Born to a human mother and the mighty king of the Northern Lights, Colac, I hope I said that close to right, her real name is Alana of the North. Her powers include using the Northern Lights to harness energy for flight, invisibility, and super speed. She has battled Mammoth Men and the Nazis during World War II and was featured as a headliner in over 30 issues. Fun fact, there is a Canadian animation and film studio named after the comic book hero goddess. Since 1971, Nelvana Enterprises Inc. in Toronto, Canada. They are known for adorable Canadian movies like Babar, Pippi Longstockings, Care Bears, Franklin, and more. In 2013, she would be featured on a Canadian stamp along with Captain Canuck, who we will meet soon, and Superman. Next we meet the Penguin. Just like before with Iron Man, this is not the Penguin you are used to seeing in the Batman series. This Penguin was again created by Adrian Dingle, just like Nelvana of the Northern Lights. The Penguin is a crime-fighting master detective and super spy. He is an expert in hand-to-hand combat and wears a penguin mask and full tuxedo with penguin coattails, of course, all while protecting Canada against spies and enemy infiltration. He made his first appearance in 1943 with WoW Comics in issue number 15. So Canada has a team, right? Like the Avengers for these awesome superheroes? Of course we do. It's called Alpha Flight, created in 1950 by Canadian artist John Byrne and writer Chris Claremont. It wasn't on Marvel's pages until 1979 in Uncanny X-Men issue number 120. The Alpha Flight team of superheroes was organized by Canadian Government Department H, which was the team's code name. They were a secret superhuman arm of the Canadian Military of Defense. The original seven on the team were Guardian, who is often confused with Captain Canuck, who we will meet shortly, Aurora, North Star, who we will also meet soon, Snowbird, Sasquatch, of course we're going to meet this guy, how could we not, Puck, and of course him too, and Marina. One of their best-known battles is when they defeated the mythical creature here in Canada known as the Wendigo. Now before we meet probably one of the most famous Canadian superheroes of them all, let's take a quick little break. Have you been to the Nothing Canada souvenir shop lately? Here you can find everything from face masks to comfy t-shirts, hoodies. There's notebooks to write down all your great plans for whenever we finally get out of this crazy lockdown stuff. There's towels, mugs, tote bags, and so much more. And they're all from your favorite adventures here on the channel, like the Yukon UFO, the What the Maple Syrup True Crime Adventure, Women in Writing, Mystery Mountain, and so many more. Head over to the souvenir shop today and grab a piece of your favorite adventure. The link to the souvenir shop can always be found in the show notes below or at nothingcanada.com.
Hi there, I'm Oz from the Oddball Aussie Podcast. Do you enjoy hearing about ufology, the paranormal, cryptids, and anything else that's strange or unknown? If so, then my show might just be for you. Join me for a different topic once a week and a midweek show that's all about listeners' true stories. Follow me on Twitter at Aussie Oddball or email me at theoddballaussie@hotmail.com. Hope you enjoy the show and stay safe out there in the weird.
Over to straightupstrange.com today and check out not only our strange family, but also our amazing collection of strange merch. That's straightupstrange.com to check us all out. Do you know who Canada's most famous superhero is? Any guesses? It's Wolverine. I personally did not know this. I also admit to not knowing most of this before doing my research, as I have not spent a lot of time in the comic book world before. But I did think it was truly awesome that Wolverine was from Canada when I found out that. Before we get into this badass Canadian superhero, I want to give a few shoutouts here to some of the resources we used to gather these great facts today. Some of these were comicbookdaily.com, mentalfloss.com, denofthegeek.com, globalnews.ca, which has a great set of pictures of most of the heroes mentioned in today's story that you can check out in the show notes below or at nothingcanada.com under the show notes section. Another awesome site that I just love that they took the time to make superhero trading cards that you must see was thestar.com, which the link can also be found in the show notes below or at nothingcanada.com. But they truly are really cool superhero trading cards, and they're all Canadian, and you can flip them over and read their stats on the back. I highly recommend checking them out. Without these awesome resources, today's tale would not be possible. So thanks to all of you for your amazing websites and articles. I really do appreciate them. But back to the fiercest Canadian superhero of them all, Wolverine. Though he is best known for being part of the X-Men team today, our Wolverine started out in Cold Lake, Alberta, where he was born, James Howlett. He does not pick up his name Logan until he is a little bit older. He's got that famous Wolverine black and yellow mask we all love, yellow with blue trim spandex suit as required by all superhero standards, a red belt, black and blue boots, as well as those retractable metal claws we all know. He was created by a lot of hands, let's say, which is most likely why he is still so unique to this day, making him one of the most popular Marvel characters of all time. Those hands were writer Len Wein, assistant editor Roy Thomas, Marvel art John Romita's, I hope I said that close to right, and was first drawn for publication by Herb Trimpe or Tripe. I'm not sure the pronunciation. I'm sorry I tried. Wolverine made his first appearance in October 1974, issue 180, The Incredible Hulk, which is the beginning of the pair's long-standing rivalry. He also has an arch-nemesis, his half-brother, Sabretooth. His superpowers consist of super healing, animal senses, retractable claws, and he has an unbreakable metal skeleton made by the secret Canadian government program known as Department K. In this same location, another famous Canadian anti-hero they call him, known as Deadpool, who we will talk about in a bit. The base is located 8 kilometers, or about 5 miles, outside of St. John's, Newfoundland. The base looks like it's completely abandoned, but just below the surface, underground, there is a mega complex complete with full working laboratories and more. Wolverine has been a part of many teams over the years, like Canada's very own Alpha Flight team, as well as Canada's superhero team. He has been a part of the Avengers, and most famously, the X-Men team. Over the years, our beloved Wolverine has been in cartoons, video games, comic books, and movies, which today we all know him as being played by actor Hugh Jackman. One of the best parts about Wolverine is whenever anyone accuses him of being an American, he is always quick to correct them and say, "I'm a Canadian, bub." Our next great superhero has often been duplicated and made over and over again. To be honest, he looks very similar to another superhero, just on the other side of the border. So he's kind of a duplicate himself. But we love him all the same. How could we not? He's Captain Canuck from Winnipeg, Manitoba. Often mistaken for the Guardian, who is a part of the Alpha Flight team. The Guardian is another one of those similar versions out there. Captain Canuck was created by Richard Comley and Ron Leishman. The first time he was published was in July 1975 in Captain Canuck, issue number 1. The comic was originally published out of Winnipeg, Manitoba in the 1970s. 15 issues were published up until 1981. Under his alter ego, Thomas Evans, he went by Tom for short. He was a member of the RCMP fighting crime all day, just as he does when he is Captain Canuck. Wearing a red and white spandex suit, a red and white mask that has a red maple leaf strategically placed just over his eyes and forehead, there is another red maple leaf just above his red and white utility belt, and a red maple leaf can be found on each of his shoulders. Captain Canuck's superpowers come from the alien nanotechnology in his suit. After he encountered aliens late one evening, they consist of super speed, strength, and endurance. He also is able to produce energy fields, as well as being an expert pilot, marksman, and martial artist. The cult fan favorite was brought back to life in 2013 during a crowdfunding raising event where $50,000 was raised and led to a web series and more comics being published by Chapter House Comics in 2015. Captain Canuck fights crime all day alongside Quebec, Blackbird, and Redcoat in the future, which is set in 1993. Hearing Captain Canuck's futuristic 1993 world, Canada has become the most important and powerful country in the world, and he has been trained as a secret agent to defend it. No matter how many times Captain Canuck has been shelved, he finds his way back to Canada to fight crime again. Another fun little superhero that is almost forgotten by most, as he has no comic book at all, but only a few comic strips in the Newfoundland Herald newspaper. Created by Jeffrey Scott and Danny Boulanger, I hope I said that close to right, Captain Newfoundland would first appear in the Newfoundland Herald in 1979. He was a part of a race of aliens who came to Earth to find Atlantis. Upon arrival, Captain Newfoundland meets with Leif Erikson and the other Vikings to discuss the future of Canada and to explore what they believe is the last remaining tip of Atlantis, the most northern point of Newfoundland. Not only is our next superhero bilingual, hailing from Montreal, Quebec, under the alias Jean-Paul Bobier, I hope I said that right, he is also Marvel's very first gay superhero. He came out in 1992. He is a world champion skier competing at Olympic levels using just a touch of his superhuman powers to grab the medals, as well as a novelist in his personal life. In the Marvel world, he is known as North Star and is a part of the Alpha Flight team. Wearing the official superhero spandex suit in mostly black with a flash of white light on his right hip and adorned around his neck, he has white gloves and boots that match, with short black hair and a bit of white at the front, like Jay Leno, if you remember him. Created by Chris Claremont and John Byrne, North Star would first appear in Uncanny X-Men issue 120 in 1979. North Star was born a mutant with superhuman powers, just like the X-Men. His powers were flight, speed, and the ability to harness light energy. He also has a twin sister named Aurora, who he can share and combine powers with. North Star would come out in 1992 as Marvel's first gay superhero, though his fans say the hints were always there. Then in 2012, he broke even more pride barriers by marrying his boyfriend, Kyle Jenadu, I hope again that's right, or close, in the Alpha Flight issue 106 in June of that year. Did you know Canada has its very own Hulk? Kind of. Let me tell you about him. He goes by the alias Walter Langowski. He is a former pro football player and a huge admirer of Dr. Bruce Banner's work. Dr. Bruce Banner, if you don't know, is the Incredible Hulk's alias. Following in his hero's footsteps, Walter Langowski would experiment with gamma ray exposure, hoping to give himself superhuman strength just like that of the Incredible Hulk. Instead, Walter's experiment took a different turn, and the cosmic gamma rays ended up opening a mystical barrier that caused him to be exposed to the realm of the Great Beast, which in the end caused him to be transformed into the Great Canadian Bigfoot, of course. Meet Sasquatch, Canada's very own Hulk. You can't tell me you're surprised we have a superhero Sasquatch, 'cause I'm certainly not. And I can't believe Ryan Reynolds, Deadpool, hasn't capitalized off this yet. It's simply Canadian maple syrup perfect. But back to our superhero Sasquatch. Unlike the big green monster, Sasquatch can control his personality and intelligence while still being in that form, making him a very valuable asset to the Alpha Flight team that he is a part of. Standing very tall with a shaggy yellowish-brown coat of matted fur, he was created by John Byrne, who also helped create the Alpha Flight team and North Star. Sasquatch is from Edmonton, Alberta, and first appeared in Uncanny X-Men issue number 129. It's a bird. It's a plane. No way. It's a hockey puck. That's right. Meet Puck. Probably one of my favorite Canadian superheroes I've read about so far. Puck looks just like he sounds, like a little round hockey puck. He was very short due to a curse that was placed on him. He wears a black bodysuit with a big orange letter P on the front of it, along with a black mask which only just barely exposes his face, black cuffs, and black boots. Created by the very talented Canadian artist John Byrne, Puck would first make his shot into the comic world in Alpha Flight issue number 1 in 1983. Puck was portrayed instantly as one of Wolverine's very close friends, and he is also known to be a friend of Ernest Hemingway's. He was a Canadian soldier like most of the heroes during the time as World War II was going on, and he also worked for Canadian intelligence for years. Puck's superpowers include strength and agility. He was unfortunately cursed by Black Razor to be not only immortal, also a dwarf for the rest of his life. He is known for his acrobatic fighting style, moving around like a small hockey puck in the air, which is truly a Canadian superhero fighting style indeed. And it's not known exactly where he's from in Canada, but he goes by the alias Eugene Judd if you do ever run into him. Our next superhero is an honorable mention, we will say, as he is not exactly a superhero, but more of an anti-hero, they say. But here in Canada, we absolutely love him anyway. Deadpool. Not only does our beloved Ryan Reynolds, who we are all huge fans of here in Canada, play the role of this antagonist, he also crams so much Canadian fun into the character, we can't help but want to put our Deadpool statues up everywhere. Like in Regina, Saskatchewan, where Deadpool claims to be from in the second movie, a legit proposal was made to have the beloved comic book anti-hero placed in statue form for all to admire. Of course, the Regina mayor at the time ruined all the fun and put a huge denied stamp on that proposal. But it doesn't matter because Canada still loves Deadpool anyway. Wearing his classic red and black spandex suit, two samurai swords across his back, and a utility belt around his waist. Deadpool's first appearance was in the New Mutants issue number 98 in February 1991, created by Rob Liefeld and Fabian Nicieza? I hope I said that close to right. As for his superpowers, he has many, but most importantly, the ability to regenerate and heal himself over and over. Along with being highly skilled at everything he tries, he is a skilled marksman, swordsman, hand-to-hand combat expert. He can teleport and speak multiple languages, just to name a few. He goes by the alias of Wade Winston Wilson and is a disfigured mercenary who is battling cancer, but is known for his non-stop joking and often, for some, goes a little too far. A lot of the Deadpool movies 1 and 2 are filmed in Vancouver, especially the fighting scene in number 2. They took place at the Riverview Psychiatric Hospital grounds in Coquitlam, BC, that we went on a very haunted adventure at back in Season 1, Episode 6. He is our Merc with a Mouth, as he is known, and we are so grateful he is Canadian. Our next two lovely young superheroes represent the Indigenous communities here in Canada and the youth of our nation. The first is Equinox from the Cree Nation. She was created by Jeff Lemire and Mike McCone in 2014. She is from the James Bay area and more specifically Moose Factory Island, Ontario. She is 16 years old and goes by the alias Miabin, I hope I said that close to right, or Me for short, Martin. Me, Martin. Equinox has long dark hair, a black and blue trim spandex suit, with a white dress that falls over the front. Her cape is split into two right down the middle to almost give the appearance of having wings. Her cape is white with blue trim. As for her superpowers, she has some pretty cool stuff going on. She has the ability for her powers to change with the seasons, so in the winter she has ice, control of the wind, and such things. And in summer, she has fire, heat, and more. She is able to inherit some of her superpowers from her ancestors, as well as utilizing the powers of Medeo, I hope I said that close to right, which is the seven pillars of Cree life. Equinox is also able to fly and protect energy. This girl has a lot of superpowers she can call on. Don't mess with her. Equinox is constantly trying to protect her people from the Witigo, I hope I said that close to right, which is the seven dark pillars, which brings such things as greed, control, selfishness, anger, and more. You can find her as a member of the Justice League, making her first appearance in Justice League issue number 0 in June 2014. Our next fierce Indigenous young lady represents Inuk spirituality and myths. She hails from Pangnirtun, I hope I said that close to right, which is located on Baffin Island, Nunavut, Canada. She goes by the alias Amka Aliak, again I hope that's close to right. She was created by Jim Zub, a Toronto writer and artist, and Sean Isaacs, as well as the help of Inuk filmmaker Nyla Inukshuk, who grew up in Iglulik and Iqaluit. Meet Snowguard, a member of the Champions, a team of young Marvel heroes. Snowguard made her debut in April 2018 in Champions Volume 2, Number 19. She again, like Equinox, sports a blue, black, and white ensemble with wings, but Snowguard is a little different. Instead of the traditional superhero bodysuit, she has on black tights, blue boots, a white Indigenous-style dress over top, which has beautiful black and blue trim work, with two beautiful white feathered wings coming out of her back, which give her the ability to soar like a bird. She is also adorned with gorgeous traditional Inuit tattoos on her forehead and chin. Snowguard's superpowers come from the Inuit spirit or force known as Sila, which also allows her to shapeshift and take on animal powers like stamina, wings, antlers, claws, a powerful bite, and more. Our final honorable mention today goes out not to a superhero, but more of a stuntman. He made a quick appearance in Incredibles 2, but most of us barely even saw him. Then again, he was in the Disney short, Lamp Life, for a split second, helping Bo Peep escape from the Second Chance antique store. But who is this mysterious Canadian stuntman, you ask? None other than Duke Kaboom from Toy Story 4. He made his grand debut in 2019. He was drawn by 8 Canadian artists and meant to have an Evel Knievel-like vibe. He even is voiced by Canadian actor Keanu Reeves, who is from Toronto. I couldn't round up this tale today without mentioning this fun Canadian character. Covered in maple leaves from belt buckle to motorbike, there are 5 in total, 3 on his bike, 1 on his belt buckle, and 1 huge red maple leaf on his cape. He wears an all-white with red pinstripe bell-bottom suit, just like the old stunt daredevil Super Dave Osborne did, if you remember him. Duke Kaboom also sports an all-white helmet with red visor and red pinstripe down the middle. This crazy and lovable stuntman is ours. I hope you enjoyed this tale today about some of the amazing superheroes here in Canada, from Superman, Wolverine, Sasquatch, Nelvana of the Northern Lights, North Star, Deadpool, the entire Alpha Flight team, Equinox, Snow Guard, and so many more. We've got a superhero for everything here in Canada. And I hope Ryan Reynolds, Deadpool, can help us bring them all back to life again, working his magic on the big screen like he always does. Deadpool, our Canadian superhero history is in your hands, my friend. And to go with something you once said,
we're going to form a super duper group. We need them tough, morally flexible, and young enough to carry their own franchise for 10 to 12 years.
I'm Canadian Girl. Until next time, my friends. You guys, who always hang around to the very end, are the real superheroes of this show. And I'm so thankful for you coming out and joining me on this superheroes adventure today. I hope your week is fabulous, and please stay safe, my friends. I'm Canadian Girl.